tonight, in the few brief moments, I want you to be so kind as to open your love letters to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, let me ask you, are you so close and so clean with God Almighty that when He commands, and with His command, you know there comes a promise, and with that promise, with His command, you know there's a promise that you instantly obey, and you know that He will send the provision, the supply? We're going to quickly, in a few brief moments, but I pray that the nuggets from God's Word will stick in your heart and remain with you. We're going to look at the raven and the widow. The raven and the widow. And as we look at the raven and the widow, I want to challenge you, as the Holy Spirit has challenged me. Does God ask you in your quiet time how you and God communicate in your relationship with God? Does God give you commands? Does God tell you to do something, and a week later you're still debating with God? Well, God, you really didn't mean that because of this. And God, I really don't believe that that was the message that you meant for me, because that's not the way that I perceive. And so you and I, in our personal relationship with God, you and I, in our walk with God, we want to box God in what we think God should be. And all God wants is for Dennis to be obedient, to obey Him, because it's not about Dennis anyway. It's all about God. Is it not? So let's quickly look. In 1 Kings 17, starting with verse 1, we'll start with verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. Now, get the picture. Get the picture. He's on the scene. This wild-looking, raven-looking character comes to King Ahab. And you know, King Ahab married into the elite Jezebel. You know, you understand the history behind this. So all of a sudden, the prophet of God comes and sticks his bony finger in King Ahab's face and says, it's not going to rain. Ahab knows it's going to rain. Ahab knows the season of rains are upon them. Let's continue. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want to stop this again. I can't get through reading the scriptures with all of this. If God told us to go do something, and He was going to take care of us with the most detestable, the most foul of what we were told to stay away from, we would stop right there, would we not? Oh, but God, you really didn't mean that, because after all, you know what the religious say. You know what the ravens, you know, we stay away from ravens. But he simply listened to God and obeyed God's command. Let's continue. So he went. And I trust you can put your name there. So you go when God commands. All right. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Widows didn't sustain anyone back then. We didn't have social security. We didn't have provisions we have. So here is a second of the most unlikely, and we 21st century Christians are the first to debate God. And we need to learn from this lesson. When God commands, He gives a promise, simply obey. And after we obey, comes the provisions of the supply. So let's continue. So, in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth," as the Lord your God. So we can't assume that she knew the Lord. So she says, "As the Lord your God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and matter of fact, many years, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these few brief moments, but Heavenly Father, the gold nuggets that we can capture and that we can apply from your word is so powerful. So may you help us, Heavenly Father, to be so close to you, so clean, that when you command, we don't debate, that we go. And God, I ask on behalf of everyone within my sound, and starting with me, that you forgive us, because Heavenly Father, we are stiff-necked. We want to debate. Heavenly Father, we don't know how you want to feed us spiritually by the ravens in our life. So open our eyes. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to see where you have us this evening and the places in our life. Help us to be faithful and obey you, Heavenly Father, so that you can pour the surplus, your surplus and your prosperity in our lives. We love you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Wicked King Ahab had permitted his wife Jezebel to bring the worship of Baal into Israel. We find that in reference, if you want to go back, is in chapter 16, verses 31 through 33. So that's the picture. In verse 16:31, it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Now, you know that King Jezebel wanted to do away with God's chosen people, with the Jews. And that's the picture, that's the setting that we come in. And she was determined to wipe out the worship of Jehovah. Reference to that is also in 1 Kings 18, verse 4. As you know, Baal was a fertility god who sent rain and bountiful crops. And Ahab yielded to Jezebel's desire and even built her a private temple, as we just read in God's Word. Now we are introduced to a man who came roaring out of the mountains of Gilead, rustic renegade, Elijah the Tishbite, and suddenly appears on the scene. He told King Ahab what we just read. Of course, his name means the Lord Jehovah is my God. But this wild-looking character, Elijah, marched into the palace of Ahab, pointed his finger at the wicked king. "As the Lord God lives, there's not going to be dew or rain until I say so." And he turned and walked out. And Ahab didn't realize it until later. Ahab probably did not immediately realize that he had just been confronted with the messenger of the living God. And I just want to stop there, and I know we're running out of time, but I want to ask you. Ahab didn't realize until after the rain season disappeared and it started drying up that he had been approached by a messenger of God. We're in such dire times. We are in such times that the people in our network need to hear and see the messengers of God. Today, have you been a messenger of God? Today, have you lived so clean and close to God Almighty that people perceive there was something different about you? And after you're gone, after you're out of their presence, they realize that you are a messenger of God. You and I should live lives so that there's no doubt when we're out of it, we don't have to be present. We don't have to tell them anything. If we are clean and close to God, He's going to use us to be a messenger of God. Ahab came to realize that he was confronted by the words of God from a messenger of God. You and I should live lives so that people know that they've been in the presence of someone who knows a holy God. We need to live that life because we are in times when people are wanting to see the real thing. We are in times when people are tired of the fake Christian scene, when people want to see the real people of God in love with God speaking on behalf of God. So anyway, that's where we find Elijah. He soon came to realize that Elijah was more than a religious fanatic ranting about the weather, but Elijah was God's spokesman. Thus began the drought, and Elijah's obedience to the Lord should be noted as he obeyed God's word and would not take the next step unless so instructed by the Lord. I love that. Therefore, in verse 2, as soon as the drought began and the country began to suffer, God said, "Go over beyond the Jordan to a little brook named Cherith and dwell there, and I'll take care of you." He did, Elijah did, and God provided water from the brook and food from the ravens, which brought him meat. He commanded, God commanded, God gave a promise, Elijah obeyed, and God provided the surplus, the provision. The ravens, we're told, and they were told, and references in Leviticus, and we don't have time to go back, but he knew that he wasn't supposed to even come close to a raven. He knew that. But God said, go, and he went. And I want to ask you this evening, because let's just cut it to the bone. I want to ask you, what are the ravens in your life? What are the things that are detestable that you never thought you were going to have to deal with? That you've pleaded with God and said, take it from me? That you don't like this today to confirm that God had a message for someone, including me this evening. A person called me and said, you are the only one I know that can pray for my granddaughter, because I can tell you and it stays between you and God. And you know that mental illness is a real thing, Dennis. Yes, I do. And you know that that's what I'm dealing with. And now they've got to lock my granddaughter, a teenager, up for 3 months, Dennis. How am I going to deal with it? And I said, you eat from the raven. God is not going to allow anything to come into your life but what He has ordained at first. But you take the food from the raven and you allow God to feed you spiritually by this awful tragedy you're having to go through. You take the food from God. You turn the granddaughter over to God, and I prayed with her. You turn it over to God and you be faithful, because I don't know and you don't know what the future holds. But God just may be equipping you to help someone who's going to have to go through the same thing. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know I will pray for you. And I know that there's a reason that God has allowed this to happen. I ask you, what are the ravens in your life? Because you and I are no different than this person talking to me today. Want it to go away, Dennis. I never thought I would live to have this problem. Not in my family. What are you dealing with in your family and in your life where you say, God, I don't want to deal with the raven? The raven is detestable. The raven I've been told to stay away with. The raven of alcohol came and landed in the Hollingsworth family years ago. Why? I don't know. But I have to allow God to feed Dennis through the raven of alcoholism so that I become spiritually fed, become a better person for God Almighty, because it's not about Dennis. It's about God. It's not about this lady that shared today. It's about God. And if God can use her, God will use her. But she's got to allow God to feed her from the raven. Elijah had to allow God to feed him from the raven. God changed the raven's nature. The raven didn't need all that stuff. And after this, I'm not going to say anything about hunting, looking for a deer for my boys, but you can imagine what the ravens do to wild meat. But anyway, he accepted God's command and he obeyed. You and me, we need to quit putting God in a box and saying, this can't happen to me. This is not what you intended. This was never in my family. God, this is, and we just keep pushing God further away. And the whole time God is saying, but I want to feed you from the ravens of life so that I can spiritually make you whole, make you strong. Because as we know, the end result, God took Elijah and God put him and let the ravens feed him. And then the brook went dry. And then God told him to go to a widow's house. Well, she can't provide for anything. And you and I would form a Baptist committee and we'd say, but this isn't what God really meant. You know, because we know the resources and we can't ask someone with nothing to give us something so that we can take from them. And I mean, we can rationalize God, can't we? Am I the only one out here that does that? And so we rationalize with God and we say, oh, but God, I can't take from someone who doesn't have anything to give. And then to make it worse on Elijah, he was a Baptist. She comes and she says, but this is going to be our last meal, me and my son. And we would have just said, well, let me just help you get to the food bank because surely this isn't of God. No, God said go. And he went. And there wasn't a debate. And he went, and God provided for about 2.5 to 3 years. And the reason I wanted to stop when we were reading the scripture, because she said that you're God. And by the time Elijah ministered and lived in front of her, I'm sure that she started saying, our God. So how many people are watching what you and I are going through? How many people are watching how we react when God says, Dennis, I want the ravens to feed you. Dennis, I need you to see this. A situation came up this past. I'm supposed to be in Orlando right now. And so I went to Orlando Monday and finished it with some business and came back. But a lady that asked me to pray with her in the Tax Collector Association said, Dennis, I want to tell you something. And it was like God was feeding her with the raven. Last time I saw her, 6 months ago, she had stopped me and said, please pray with me. My one and only daughter's husband left her and abused her. And now she's got cancer and she's got to have surgery. And I'm taking care of her and the grandchildren. And she's not young chicken. And she said, but why does this happen? I don't know why it happens. But I promise I'll pray with you. Well, this past week, she flagged me down. Dennis, how are things going? How's your daughter? Well, she has cancer. She's not well. But let me tell you what God's doing. Listen, the raven was feeding her, and she allowed this to happen. She said, guess what? My son-in-law, who abused my wife, who had nothing to do with the children, has now come back around and wants to help me take care of the children. Haven't seen him in 5 years. She said, God's working in his life so much that he's taken his young son, whom he had nothing to do with either one of them. And now he picks them up and brings them back, and he's starting to talk to my sick daughter. And she said, if it's not God's will, we've accepted that she will battle this until she steps into eternity. But the fact to see that she's accepted the raven and allowing God to prepare her spiritually and to see what God's doing in her life. Wow. Y'all, there's a mighty God. And we need to be diligent about our relationship with God. And we need to quit putting God in boxes and fitting him on shelves and having life the way we think and perceive that life should be. And we need to allow God to start feeding us from the ravens. And we need to joyfully walk through these fields and mines and challenges and valleys, and the whole time give God the glory. And God will get the glory if you and I don't put him on a box and put him in the shelf. So how are you doing about the ravens in your life? So God's command, go eastward and hide yourself in verse 3. Get thee hence. And I would like in verse 3 where he says, get thee hence. You need to put your name in there somehow. When he says, get thee, Dennis, needs to say, yes, sir, and go. And you need to do the same thing. Get thee hence. And then in verse 9 where he says, arise and get thee. That was when God was sending him to the widow. Arise and get thee. We need to realize when God speaks, when God gives a command, don't look back, don't challenge, don't debate, don't call the pastor, don't get a committee together. When God tells you to go, go. That's the command. And you know, with every time God gives a command, God gives a promise. So then Elijah was commanded to go to a lonely outpost in a foreign country. And I could go on and on for the reasons for Elijah to say no and for Elijah to debate God. But he did not. God's word was to the Jewish people like the rain from heaven in Deuteronomy 32:2 and Isaiah 55:10. And it was essential for their spiritual lives. It was refreshing. This is God's word. And only the Lord could give it. And the silence of God's servant was a judgment from God. So I want to ask you, are you in God's word? Or is there a drought in your life where right now you are where Elijah's nation was and there's a drought and you don't hear God's word? If there's a drought in your life, if there's a drought in your spiritual life, only you can do something about it. And that's to spend time with God. Because before the command comes, you've got to know when the command comes. And like, well, how could you know? You know, we were talking this past week and my boy said, well, Daddy, you're always saying for us to listen to God. How do you know? I said, when was the last time you read your Bible? I ask you to read it every morning. Did you read it this morning? Well, I said, well, you've got to have the self-discipline. And if you don't get it instilled in your life now, you will probably not get it. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to know when God gives a command. And the only way you will know, the only way I will know, is by our relationship with Jesus Christ through His Word. So don't have a spiritual drought. And if you're in a spiritual drought, get it right tonight. Ask Him to forgive you. Asking Him to make you hungry for His Word and get in His Word. And then God's promise, you shall drink of the brook. And then He goes on to say, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. This is a promise. You go, I'll meet your needs. Whenever God commands His children to do something, He also promises them the grace and the means with which to do it. God will never ask you to do something without providing the grace and the help to do it. Behind God's command lies His omnipotence. If God has commanded you to do something, don't you dare say you can't do it. With every command of God comes a promise to aid you in obeying that command. So God is always removing any question or doubt that He is God. God employed some unlikely means by the ravens and the widows. In your life, God will remove anything to make you think that you have helped God. Be aware, God is God, and God can do what God has planned to do in your life. But you and I must listen to the command, and you and I must be obedient. Arise and get thee. And ravens, of course, as I share with you, were unclean. And so I wanted to ask you, what has God placed in your life that you perceive as the most unlikely, detestable thing or event? And I can, let's just be honest, or person. Who's in your life that you can't pray for? What situation is in your life that when you wake up, you just shake your head? These are the things that you and I need to learn. God, this is yours. And God, I'm going to learn that you are going to spiritually feed me through these ravens in my life. And until you and I get right with God, until you and I build up personal relationship with Jesus, until you and I start learning how to feed on God's Word, hearing God's Word, until we get that right, we just don't worry about the command and the obedience. But when we do get it right, when we do get it right, God, with every command, He gives a promise. If you and I will obey, it's kind of like math last night. From 5 to 10, I was trying to work on Algebra 2. So if any of you are mathematicians, call the Hollingsworth house. I'm tired of it. But I prayed over it. I said, Lord, and so tonight when I came home, guess what? Daddy got 1 out of 3 right. One of the boys said, you need to pray harder, Daddy. I said, my God knows His math too. Anyway, anyway, what has God placed in your life and in my life? And are we allowing God to feed us spiritually through the unpleasant ravens in our life? And the place of God's appointment is the place of His provision. You've got to be in the place God wants you to be if you expect to claim the promise that God has prepared for you. And then Elijah's obedience. God's command, God's promise depends on our obedience to get the provisions. As the drought grew worse, the brook dried up, leaving the prophet without water. But he never made a move until the word of the Lord came to tell him what to do. And we have heard the will of God will never lead us where the grace of God cannot keep us and care for us. 1 Kings 17, verses 5 and 10 also state, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And so he went to Zarephath. His obedience was immediate. It wasn't delayed." And this is interesting. And you may want to write this down. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And partial obedience is disobedience. And also, some of the greatest men of God had to spend time alone before they were used of God in a great way. So after Moses' 40 years of college education in Egypt, he spent 40 years of graduate study in the wilderness to prepare him for life's work and for God's will. Now, before Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, challenging the prophets of Baal, he had to spend time alone at the brook and allow the ravens to feed him. God is trying to use this church and use you in a great and a mighty way. But God cannot use you if you are not willing to eat from the ravens, to learn, to spiritually learn, to be fed by the ravens in your life, and trust God with everything. You and I must grow spiritually to that point. Watchman Nee said, and I quote, "Because of our proneness to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, God has frequently to change His means of supply to keep our eyes fixed on the source, which is God." That's good, isn't it? The source is God. And then finally, God's supply. "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and God miraculously changed their nature." So have you ever experienced any of God's ravens? I trust that you have. If you haven't, you've never learned to live by faith and be thankful for God's natural supply in your life. Now, Elijah was about to learn what God could do with empty vessels. The fact that the woman had been instructed by the Lord isn't proof that she was a believer, as I share with you. And although Elijah's assets were great, for God Almighty had promised to take care of him, his hostess and her son, Elijah gave her God's promise that neither the jar of grain nor the flask of oil would be used up before the end of the drought and the famine. If God has given us a command, then you and I need to act on the promise. You and I need to be obedient. And you and I need to assure those in our network and in our lives that God will provide. God's supply and God's provision will prevail. And in closing, let me share with you. I had another discussion with someone, and they said, let me tell you what happened. This man's wife had Alzheimer's for years. The nurses on the ward watched him faithfully come every morning, feed her breakfast, go home. Come every lunchtime, feed her lunch, go home. Come at supper, feed her supper, stay up with her at night till it was bedtime, go for years. My friend who's a nurse said, we just finally had to break down and tell him, said he was just wearing himself out. Sir, said, "You're paying us to do what you're doing. She doesn't know you. You need to rest. You need to just back off." "No." He said, "No, ma'am. You don't understand. She may not know me, but I know her. And in front of our God, I told him, she's a gift, and I told him I would be faithful to her till death do us part." He said, "You need to get it right." Guess what? The raven that was feeding him ministered to a whole nurse's ward But he couldn't have done that if he was fighting with God and debating with God about the ravens in his life, could he? That would not have been possible if he was going to call a committee and say, God, this can't happen, and not in my family. So I don't know where you are, and the ravens are many. The loneliness, the loss of spouses, the illnesses, the loss of young people, the loss of elderly people. But you and I need to turn the ravens of our life over to God and allow God to spiritually feed us, because it's all about Him. It's not about us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time of sharing. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the faithfulness of this church in prayer. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the golden nuggets that we can glean from Your Word, Heavenly Father. And my prayer is, if there's someone within the sound of my voice this evening who does not know You personally, if there's someone who has doubts that the eastern sky were to roll back, if the earth started trembling, Heavenly Father, and we're in perilous times, I sense in my heart that the saddles are being put on the great horses to come back for the bride. I sense in my spiritual life that at any moment, if I heard a loud blast, I'd probably jump up. But Heavenly Father, I fear that there are people in my family. I fear that there are people in my business network. I fear that there are people in my church family who are not ready to go, who have doubts. My prayer is that, Heavenly Father, this message was for them. My prayer is that they will not leave tonight without asking Christ into their heart and life to save them. And then, Heavenly Father, I pray that You give us boldness. I pray that You help us when You give us a command, that You just help us to say, yes, sir, and we don't look back, we don't debate, we allow You to be God, and we accept what You allow to come into our lives so that You can feed us spiritually from the ravens, from these bad times in our life, because, Heavenly Father, You want to equip us, to use us in great and mighty ways, to, Heavenly Father, to stand before the kings of Baal, but to stand before the prophets of Baal, the false gods, and proclaim, my God is the God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, came to die for all. We love You and thank You, Heavenly Father. Bless the Awanas, bless the youth, bless the choirs that are going to meet in just a few moments. Thank You for Dr. Terry, Heavenly Father. Thank You for each voice in the choir. Thank You for how You minister to this community through this church. And may none of us do anything to hinder the power of a holy God in this place. We love You and thank You. Amen.